This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform. Youth Leadership Platform in association with Student Brands. I'm Adrian Groenewald with Miss Chanel Karawan.
Hello, I'm so excited today.
Are you really?
I think so. I think it's going to be a nice heated discussion.
Fees must fall, man. It's like a dictionary word in our lives. We all know fees must fall. We know, we watch, we see it happening. Some of us love it, some of us hate it, some of us wish it could be done differently, but we support the cause. Many, many angles and views to this one. We've got a couple of students involved in it, in whichever way, in the studio to talk about this. I really wanted to almost a week or so ago, but I think now is a better timing. It's very heated. It's let's get your views. Right, and I think the first thing I want to know is, what is the essence, more and more, it feels, and I know this is as an outsider, mm-hmm. and it's perception, okay? Mm-hmm. But it feels like last year had more unity, this year less unity. It felt more pure and exact last year in a way. This year, there's some similarities, but I'm not sure that I'm clear about the absolute essence of what the students are trying to achieve here. So now when there's this perception, then one starts doubting which sinister elements are involved in the middle of this, who's playing it for their own benefit, are political parties involved or not. So last year it was clear, man, stay away from us. It's us, we're going to the union buildings, and it was successful in many respects. This year, maybe it'll get there. Maybe it needs a bit of time. I don't know. Just tell me the essence okay. of this campaign.
Alrighty.
Okay. First, just give your name and okay. go for it, because we have a couple here. I don't cool. have all your
first
names.
First of all, I'm Candice Chirwa. I'm studying a BA degree in international relations and politics. I'm also the chief executive officer for Palmer Nyumo. Basically, I feel that the essence of the movement is still the same. Free education, free quality education for all. It's just, I don't know what you mean by pure, if you could clarify by what you mean by pure, but I feel that I think maybe things started off a bit rocky in the beginning, considering Blade's announcement was expected and predict, and we all predicted that we were going to protest, but we weren't entirely sure, or we weren't expecting the response from government and from the police especially. I think what we're trying to do right now is to mobilize not only students, but civil society, churches, any individuals who feel that our message is clear, because for 22 years now, we've been waiting for the government to ensure that education is a human right rather than education being a privilege. It is enshrined in the Freedom Charter, and anyone else who wants to tell me different that education should be commodified, yeah, that's not going to happen. So I feel that our message is clear. I think maybe things are a bit rocky right now because of maybe there's maybe power dynamics being at play. But I also urge people not to rely too much on the media, because the media likes to sensationalize things and make it seem like we're hooligans and barbarians, when in fact we're not. We're trying to protest for something that we all need to have. As Nelson Mandela said, that education is the most powerful weapon we can have to change the world.
Yeah, media in general, you know, even the perceptions of Jacob Zuma, with greatest of respect, yes, we may not support him as the best leader ever, but media creates our perceptions of people, and it's sad in many respects. All right, the essence of this campaign, very quickly, do you differ there? Is there more essences? What about study debt? I mean, all that is part of it, isn't it? Is there anything else that makes out the essence of this campaign?
Adrian, my name is Daniel Zada. I'm a first-year economic science student at WITS. I've got a more neutral
That seems
stance.
To be the heart of things almost, WITS, isn't it?
Yes.
I know it's everywhere, yes. But WITS does seem to have a bit of a... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have a more neutral stance with all the stuff. However, the other day I went, just myself and Josh, to WITS to hear the SRC meeting before the protest kicked off in Brom. And firsthand, what I saw for myself, there were about 500 people plus minus in that meeting. And I had a point that I wanted to raise about barriers that are being built up between the protesters and the other students, because no one actually sees what they're there for, what their true aim is. So I asked the guy next to me if it's my place to speak, because I felt out of place in that meeting. And the guy, he was wearing an EFF beret. He put his hand on my shoulder. He called me brother. And he said to me that he wants me to speak because they're genuinely there looking for a progressive, realistic way forward, and that any opinion that's given there that may help is valued. So I said what I wanted, and it was respected and appreciated. And what I saw myself, I've got photographic evidence of it as well from my walks through Brom with Josh. a few hundred people came out of that meeting. The protest grew to maybe 5 times the amount of people that were actually in that SRC meeting. And the guys who left that SRC meeting, they left there peacefully. The whole intention was peaceful, to raise awareness within the working class, where the guys actually have an influence over the government, because the government hasn't been listening to these guys directly. Whichever way you look at it, that's the truth. So it was when there these other hundreds of people flocking the streets to come join it. Most of them weren't even students, or not even VIT students, whatever it was. These guys come, they're hopped up looking for this protest, and they get aggressive, and that's where all this vandalism and stuff is caused. But the media that isn't allowed into those SRC meetings, and I said it to the students as well, they miss a huge part of this, and everyone's closed-minded to it because of it. And if people were able to see that side of it, everyone would be a lot more open-minded to what's going on here.
You see, but they are very astute, call it political elements, for lack of a better term, that know how to exploit these sort of things.
Exactly.
And last year, I got the feeling that the students were able to push that out to a large degree. Of course, now there's been time to think about it, and how can we better utilize this and abuse it maybe, and therefore one must be careful. And when you extend it now to broader partners, that also brings in different dangers, maybe benefits, but also dangers. Yes, introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Josh, and I study at WITS as well. I'm doing a BCom double major in IS and economics.
You know, you're not going to get your first year this year. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, what a year to start at WITS, eh? Yeah, but as Daniel said, we did go to the meeting with the SRC, and one thing that became very evident to us is that, yes, there are political factions within the whole movement, but the movements are driven by the people and the students that are standing behind those political parties. And the people that are behind these parties are there to get free education. They're not there to support other parties. And they made that very clear in the meetings. So when you bring up the whole thing about the whole people worrying about people pushing their own political agendas, I'd say that it's not likely that that's going to be the outcome of the situation, because the people, once people stand up and they start pushing their own agenda, people will shut them down immediately, because that's not the reason why we are gathering together and pushing. We're pushing for free education. We're not pushing for political movements.
All right. You're on the side, your name. And then, guys, just think about this. I haven't done enough study on this, but and maybe Chanel knows. Do we have good examples globally of free university education? Is it out there? I know free education in general, but I'm very interested in that. Give your comments quickly, and then we can come back.
Oh, hi. My name is Sipho Mashebe. I'm a second-year BSc student majoring in zoology and currently the chairperson of the Animal, Plant and Environmental Undergraduate Council. So basically, when we talk
studying
about...
Studying where?
VITS? Yeah, I'm at VITS as well.
VITS is leading the pack.
So we're from the heart of it.
Okay.
To talk about unity, I think we need to acknowledge the fact that across the country, people who are standing and who are voicing these issues are students. And whether we're having political affiliations or political squabbles, we need to know that students are and are focused in terms of what they want to achieve. And the goal here is to get free education. And free education is what students will fight for until the end of the day.
But what you said earlier, the quality element does open up. Yeah. In other words, the kind of content, the kind of lecturers.
That's what I was going to bring up. Like, does it come, does that, you know, the free, it does come at a cost, doesn't it? Because these lecturers, like you were saying, they do need to be paid. You know, the buildings do need to be maintained, all of that. So how does that fall into place?
I mean, I think what we need to address, what we need to address is, I think everyone's obviously concerned about the quality of education, the fact that once I do get a degree, what quality does my degree hold? And obviously we're focusing on lecturers and being paid. Everything that you mentioned is valid there. But I think what's important is the fact that a domestic worker who earns 1.5 every month needs to pay 150,000 rand to send their child. And on top of that, they have to consider residence. On top of that, they have to consider all these other expenses that are just too much to pay for. And NASFAS isn't, it needs to be reformed. And I feel that this whole thing of entrapping students into debt is just not the greatest path for our democracy. Remember that we're all shareholders in our country, right? We all have some sort of share in South Africa, and I find that free and quality education is the cornerstone to allow our incorporation to function, if that's a good metaphor. Do you want to add on?
Yeah, and just before you jump in, because I think you might want to talk my question about globally free studying. Okay, just answer that one, and then I'll bring it back in.
Well, firstly, in terms of our economy, I personally don't think that absolutely free education is viable. It's like trying to run a business in which you don't pay your employees and you expect it to be productive and successful. I do feel strongly that free education does need to be offered to those that can't afford it.
But isn't that what the minister is saying at the moment?
Yeah, I think so. But at the same time, I don't think all education here can be free. We're saying, there have to be those that level of quality to some extent.
Yeah, I also like to add on to that. A lot of people have a problem with the whole movement because they feel that free education is not viable, which may be the case at this point of time. But obviously what we're pushing for is that there's going to be economic reform. The only way that it's going to be viable once there's reform. And you can't tell me that it's not possible for there to be free education while there are CEOs. The CEO of Eskom brings in around 800,000 rand a month. And now you're telling me South Africa doesn't have enough to pay for free education. That's not a point that you can make. Maybe with the current situation about how we tax the rich and the situation that we're in economically at the moment is not possible to have free education. But that's what we're fighting for, is for the reform so that we can get to a point where the economy can support free education and keep the quality by not decreasing the amount of money that we put into it.
Yeah, and maybe some of this economic stuff is a bit too complex for any of us here in the studio in terms of what I do understand on a headline level is that the minister is saying that that domestic worker who cannot afford the 150,000 a year now shouldn't pay for their children, but the Eskom CEO should pay for his children's education. Am I right? Is that what he's saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. And if we had to have a referendum today amongst the students, what do you think the outcome would be in terms of going back to studies now or not? Or what would the referendum be? It probably wouldn't be free education or not, because then we know where it would go. But if students were asked, do you want to go back and write your exams or continue this journey right now, what do you think the referendum outcome would be? Is it Bongani?
Sipho,
sorry.
I think in terms of moving forward, students are focused and they know what they need, right? And what they need right now is free education. But to personally answer her question, I'm conflicted by this whole topic because I believe education should be end. However, I'm for affordable and not completely free, right? Because honestly, free education is not feasible for now in terms of our economy. And it is not, it doesn't mean that it's not impossible for the country to have it. However, we need to keep in mind that the quality of education in South Africa needs to be kept at the highest standard, right? And as I am a student at Wits University, I'm aware of the reality that this movement is for free education and will not just come out, and free education will not just come out of nowhere. There needs to be partnerships, and free does not mean no one is going to pay. And we also need to be careful as students not to collapse the higher education system at all, because if we still want a university degree from South Africa to remain relevant on an international scale, we need to keep in mind that free education needs to be paid by someone, and that someone needs to be the government. And where the government is getting the funds is us forming partnerships with the private sector, calling into business all stakeholders to acknowledge the call that students are making.
I feel like it's a calling. I feel like it's just a calling to government to sort of just stand up and, you know, I feel like it's just like, help us.
Might I just add on to that question?
So that reasonableness, that sounded quite reasonable to me. Sorry to interrupt, but does that exist then across the student board? In other words, we're not really saying free, free, free. We understand that, but the impression we get from a distance is that if we don't get an announcement tomorrow that it's free education across the board, then we're going to destroy property.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing coming across. And is destruction of timeless property in libraries, that's not part of the strategy, surely?
Nope. No, it's not.
But it's happening because of some other elements.
Yeah, just adding on to what he amazingly said right there, I think also we need to urge government to obviously take importance to what we're saying, because we're the youth, we're the future of this country, we are your potential workforce, and yet you won't even listen to what we have to say. Like, come
Blade
on.
Would say, I did listen, and I'm giving a very reasonable response.
He's wasting all his money on dermatologist fees, but anyway, no shade. anyway, I think that government needs to focus on re-spending, focus on reforming how they spend their money, because annually, we spend about 1.4 trillion rand, and only 20 billion rand goes into education. So that doesn't make any sense. How is it that you know, you want us to be educated, you want us to work for your society, but you're not even putting any focus into that. That just doesn't make sense whatsoever. And your point about vandalizing, I find that a lot of News 24 commentators tend to believe that, you know, students are hooligans, brats, uncivilized, uneducated, and they, and focusing on the vandalizing of FISMAS 4 only won't solve anything. And I urge people to actually be critical when they're watching media and actually think who started the violence first. Because you'll find that from these photographers, you'll find that it's actually maybe the police that provoked the students and the students are acting in self-defense. So the media itself needs maybe some sort of reform. Maybe we need to bring up our own media platform in which Youth Leadership Platform starts its own media house and provides subjective analysis to what we are feeling, because the media only wants to sensationalize when students are throwing rocks, but when we're sitting by the gate singing peacefully and studying, oh, it's boring. So,
okay, so obviously tell the students about this platform, which we also want to take to universities. We don't just want to come into the studio, by the way. All right, comments on that corner and we'll come back.
Come on. Just going back to your issue.
Are you guys like photographers on the scene?
We were the guys. We just went neutrally to the protest to see it from the students' perspective.
Now you're into
it. Actually,
man,
we put some photos up on Facebook showing it from a different perspective to the media. It's quite nice to look at.
So now you're in the middle of it. You can't get out, man. Go for it.
So I just wanted to speak. You asked about the international perspective and comparing it to other countries. So my father said something to me the other day, and he was arguing with me because I was kind of tending towards being pro the protests and stuff at the time. Still am, though. Yeah. And he said to me that we don't realize that in most other countries, it's a huge privilege that we have here that our parents pay for us to study. Firstly, in most other countries in the world, educational fees are a lot higher than they are in South Africa. Here, it's almost nothing compared to overseas. And then on top of that, in a lot of other places, students have to put themselves through varsity. They've got to do part-time jobs and stuff to get themselves through. So we have to identify the fact that it is a huge privilege that so many of us have here, that there's other people paying for us to go study. And what he said was, it sounds a bit controversial, but bear with me. He said that the fact that there are privileged people does not mean that everyone can and must be privileged, and that everyone can demand to have something handed to them on a silver platter. So that confused me quite a bit. But then on Friday, I was watching a video on SABC News Channel of a guy outside Kasatu House speaking from their march there. And what he was getting at is that there is, well, what I understood from it, there's this huge imbalance of the past, which we can't deny because of apartheid. And this isn't an issue of race for me. However, at the end of the day, we have this BEE and the affirmative action and stuff. And it says, the idea is that it's sorting all of this out, but the fact is it's catching these people later on in life. And to truly address this problem, giving guys further opportunities later on in life isn't really going to get far. You have to hit it at the roots. So the suppressed generation and time that our country's been through is well past. It happened a long time ago. These days we need to look at developing a generation that is, no one's oppressed, everyone's equal. And in order for that to happen, starting from today, we all need equal opportunities to go forward as a group. So I'm talking about the children of the domestics, the policemen and women, whatever it is. BEE, affirmative action, doesn't help if these guys still can't send their kids to varsity and these guys don't get the opportunity and we don't work from an equal platform. My personal conclusion is that we can't directly blame the students for what they're doing here, because if I was in that position, I'd be doing the exact same thing. The truth is our country does need it. I can't speak whether they're going about it the right way or not, but it has to happen. You can't deny that. So for me, and what I can say to other people who aren't on the side of the protesters, for now, the least you can do is keep an open mind to it and see what it's going to do for our country realistically, because to an extent, it's very necessary.
And that's a tough thing, isn't it? Because you do... I think the students are somewhat divided, even though it's going in a direction. You do have students that are really conflicted. You know, you're in your final year and you want to finish it and get this over and done with and move to the next chapter of your life. Then you have to write exams in Jan. You know, so one understands that there will be conflicting elements. Back here?
Yeah, I just wanted to add in terms of vandalism during protest. Personally, I think we all need to acknowledge the fluidity and sensitivity of this whole issue, right? And we need to understand that FISMAS 4 is a movement and is important to most, right? And as well, to address your question as to is vandalism allowed onto campuses and during protests. Personally, I strongly condemn violence and property destruction at all levels, mainly because it paints the whole movement on a negative side. And if we are to seek for attention from the society, we need to be civil with the society so that they can be able to provide us with the support that we need. And I urge all protesters across the country, especially from our campus, to say, guys, it is not worth it to fight and destroy property, because at the end of the day, we're fighting to reduce costs. And if we destroy stuff, it means those buildings need to be rebuilt and need to be repaired. And for them to be repaired, it means there's more money that needs to be forked out, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, I must tell you, this is a very silly angle that I'm coming from, but I like oldness. You know, like the old side of London, the old Italy and the old world. And when you have an old library that you can see has been there so long,
yeah,
with old decoration, whatever it is, and it gets just burnt down. You can never replace that. It is just exceptionally sad. It's a heritage that you can't. So I mean, I agree with you there, and maybe the momentum needs to move in that direction. Chanel, any questions, comments?
Last few comments is I've tried very, you know, because of my position at work, I'm trying very hard to stay, you know, in the middle and not take sides. But hearing it, this is the first time I've actually sat down with students who's actually actively involved in this movement. Mm. And you've given me a new look on what the movement is and what's actually coming from the student side. And I think definitely urge the media to just, you know, take a look a little bit deeper, because all we see when we turn on the TV is the vandalized buildings and the shooting and the police, and it looks terrible from that side.
I mean, guys, just remember that anything, the world that we live in, there's so many options. People get tired of things very quickly. Mm. Even the concept of racism, which we have such a long way to go still, people know we must sort it out, but I'm tired of hearing it, and then I want to hear something else. We move on as a society because there's so much news and so much information. So when the Fees Must Fall thing drags out, then media is looking for sensation. They go for the broken down place and the fire and the, you know, the burning down, instead of necessarily a very productive meeting, you know. Or but then maybe they're not allowed in there. But the point is, it's the way media works. It's the way our media works. Maybe it's the way media works all over the world, and that's a big danger. And the students must catch that vision. That will attract most of the media. And that's obviously not positive, because then those who feel positive about what you're doing, you know, we never get to see it. So we've got to have a final comment, 30 seconds from each of you, because we're at the end. We've got the next show coming in. Let's start at the end and just run down the line. Final 20, 30 second comment. Maybe an appeal to either, you choose, government, society, or students, or everyone.
Yeah, so my appeal is mostly to the protesters, because it's what I spoke to them about when I spoke in that meeting as well. Because they don't allow the media into these meetings, and people are intimidated by these protesters, they don't want to go to the meetings. So we miss out on the truth of what's actually happening there. Well, a lot of it at least. So I said it when I posted the photos of the protests on Facebook. I'll say it again now. All students have to open their eyes to being willing to see what's actually going on at the meetings and stuff, even attend one of them, see for yourself. And to the protesters themselves, they have to be more accommodating to other students, because if they were, I guarantee you a lot of people would be on their side, a lot more people than they have now.
Okay, next.
I'd like to make an appeal to society to stand behind the Fees Must Fall movement, because free education is possible. The only way it's going to be possible is if South Africa as a whole stands behind the whole movement. And I'd also like to make an appeal to students to stop with the violence. And all students that aren't involved with Fees Must Fall, come to one of the protests, see what's happening on the ground. Don't use the media as your only source of information, because the opinions that you base on the media are not factually correct, because it is sensationalized. And that's the whole meaning of the photography that we're doing behind this whole thing, to get a perspective from the students' point of view.
Excellent.
And yeah.
Okay.
Well, basically, I'm appealing to government to listen and take us seriously. Do not undermine our power, because we are lions and cubs waiting to bite back. And basically, the process that's happening right now is decolonization. And what we're doing is we're digging our foundation for more generations to come. And I appeal to society to just come with their shovels and help dig with us.
Final.
Yeah. To just add a last comment, I think my message to the government is today, the government needs to remember that they're dealing with young potential politicians, teachers, doctors, nurses, who commonly find themselves in the middle class, right? And after graduation, we don't want to find ourselves stuck with our debt and our children also stuck with not being funded in terms of going to higher education. So the government needs, especially Mr. Blade, he needs to take the call from students very seriously because students are intellectuals and they mean business right now. And yeah, it is time for youth orchestrated change.
Chanel, anything?
No, I think they've covered that.
They covered it all.
They covered it.
Basically, please don't be a condescending leader. Please engage us, sit at the same level with us, and don't think we're the leaders, you're just the followers.
Yeah.
We've got to take you serious. And I think they would say they are, but you're not getting that message. So good luck. We'll stay in touch and maybe
Thank
come
you
to a campus.
Having us.
This is CliffCentral.com.